As was indicated by Fred, we're going to be preaching this morning on Bethel. And so I'd like you to turn with me to the Word of God for this morning as we read the passage that speaks of Bethel. And that is Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. And we're going to be reading there verses 10 through 22. Genesis 10 through 22. In Genesis chapter 28 is the passage of Scripture before us, and may the Lord and His Spirit lead us into its truth this morning as we discern what His Word tells us, even for our day. This is, of course, when Jacob had left his father's house after the threats of Esau, and so he is on his way to Haran. And that's where we pick it up here at verse 10. This is the holy and inspired word of God. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, which with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above us stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So far the reading of God's holy word. Notice especially the words that we find in, well, let me just read verse 17 again, where it says, Jacob was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And then we read in verse 19, he called that place Bethel. May God bless us as we think of this passage and these verses as we speak on that theme of Bethel. This morning, an awesome place. You know, congregation, church anniversaries, like wedding anniversaries, are always very special occasions and celebratory events. They are times to remember God's faithfulness over the years, as we have sung, to give Him thanks for all His blessings, and also to renew our dedication to Him for the years ahead, as you are doing here this week and next. And that's certainly the case when that anniversary marks no less than 125 years of a congregation's existence. Maybe think back last week of the various congregations I've been privileged to serve in the years of my active ministry. Of the seven, four of them had their beginning in the 1800s. I came to Second Church here from Whitensville, Massachusetts, where I served the Pleasant Street congregation, which began in 1896. And when I left Second, I went to North Street Christian Reformed Church in Zeeland, Michigan, which began in 1882. And from North Street, I left to go to First Christian Reformed Church of Prinsburg, Minnesota, which had its beginnings in 1886. And you, of course, began in 1893. What a history! All these churches have, and by the grace of God, I can say they are still going and they are still serving the Lord in their respective communities. What a reason to praise God for all those years of existence and of ministry. But it also presents a challenge to us to remain a true and dedicated church of Christ in the years to come. Now, one way to do that is to remember what we are and what our role is in the world. And that's no doubt the reason your anniversary committee chose as its theme for this special occasion, Living Stones. That's who we are and must always be as God's people. Living stones. As the Apostle Peter reminds us in those few verses I also read earlier from 1 Peter 2, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by God, but chosen by God, and precious by him, but chosen by God and precious to him. That's, of course, referring to Christ, the cornerstone. And he says, we must come to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we're to be like Christ, living stones. I'll come back to that idea a little further later on. But as you know, the Bible mentions in quite a few places stones, and in symbolical ways, that is, stones as symbols of a spiritual reality. And that will be brought to your attention here during this anniversary celebration. This morning, then, I want to speak about one of those references, Bethel. The name taken from Genesis 26, which speaks of the experience that Jacob had once at Bethel. And that name Bethel, as Fred mentioned, you know, is on all of your cornerstones or several of your cornerstones. When I came here this morning, I purposely parked in the back or by the main entrance. I usually park on the sides just so I could walk by those cornerstones and see what they say, actually. Yes, when Second Church began in 1893, that newly established congregation, mind you, built a church building that very same year. It was completed in December of 1893. Located on the corner of Northwest Street, now called Westnage and Patterson. And the cornerstone of that building read like this. I read it this morning again. Holland, Christelijke Gereformeerde Kerk, on Northwest Street, Bethel, eerste steen, gelegd door Reverend J. Post, 1893. Now that's Dutch, if you didn't guess it. That's what you see, I'm practicing for tonight. In English, it would be Holland Christian Reformed Church on Northwest Street, Bethel, first stone laid by Reverend J. Post, 1893. That stone was moved then to this church building in 1970. So you can see it in the narthex there. It's a cornerstone that mentions in the center the name Bethel. Let's turn to our scripture lesson this morning, which tells where that name comes from and what it really means. First, we'll look at the name of that place that Jacob came to, Bethel. Secondly, we'd like to look at the symbol for this place, which was a stone. And then thirdly, we'll look at the importance of that place, an awesome place. Most of your children here, I'm sure, have heard the story of Jacob and his dream. Described in Genesis 28, Jacob had just left his father and mother, Isaac and Rebekah, after his twin brother Esau threatened to kill him for taking away the birthright blessing. Then his parents told him, you better leave, your life is in danger. And they told him to go to Haran, where Laban, Rebekah's brother, lived. That was some 500 miles away. Jacob had to make that journey on foot. And after just a few days on the journey, he was still in the land of Canaan. Jacob stopped for a rest that night. He lay down to sleep and placed his head on a stone. Often wondered how he could possibly sleep with his head on a stone. About the hardest thing there is. He must have been awfully tired. Perhaps he had some kind of soft thing that he also had placed on under his head before lying down on that stone. In any case, he fell fast asleep, and then he had this dream. He saw a stairway, most Bible translations call it a ladder. It reached from heaven to earth, and he saw angels going up and down this ladder. At the top of the ladder, he saw the Lord standing, who proceeded to talk to Jacob and assured him of his covenant promises that he would bless Jacob, they would multiply his offspring, as he had already promised to his father Isaac and grandfather Abraham, and that he would be with him, and that he would bring him back again to this place, to this land. And when Jacob awoke, he realized that it was the Lord who had spoken to him there. This was not an ordinary dream. This was a revelation from God. And so he responded by saying, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." And then he added, as we read in verse 17 of our text, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And then it says in verse 19, he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Why did Jacob call that place Bethel? Well, because the name Bethel means house of God. This place where Jacob had his dream, in which God appeared to him, was not an ordinary place. This was a sacred place. It was the place where God himself came and spoke to him. And so he called it Bethel, house of God. And you see, dear friends, this is what this church building is, including the church that you and I here then belong to, and which meets here from week to week. This is our Bethel. This is our house of God. That's true in one sense, on one level of this particular building. Here on Nichols Road, this is the place right here where we come and where God then appears to us. This is in a sense that sacred place, even if it is only brick and mortar, wood and stone. But it's significant. That's why the cornerstones of this church building have that name on them, Bethel. But I think you all realize Bethel is more than a building. In Old Testament times, there was a great deal of emphasis on special buildings where God's people worship, which were considered sacred and holy, like the tabernacle and the temple. Those were the houses of the Lord to which the people would come and bring their offerings and worship God. But in a deeper sense, as the New Testament makes clear, the house of the Lord is much more than a structure. It is the people of God themselves who belong to him and who worship him. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians, who were mostly Gentiles, non-Jews, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as their cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Yes, the house of the Lord, the house he lives in by his Holy Spirit, is the church. We together, as God's people, are Bethel, God's household. And what an awesome place, or people, Bethel is, as Jacob said. How awesome is this place? What makes the church so awesome? Because it is the special people of God, those whom he loved, those whom he saved. The church is awesome because it is the bride of Christ, whom he bought with his own precious blood to be his. The church is awesome because, unlike any human organization or institution, it is not just a temporal institution, it is an eternal living body. As that familiar hymn, "Onward Christian Soldiers," puts it, "Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain." How awesome is the church! 2 Peter 2 verse 9 says it all. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, O holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The church is awesome because it is the object of God's amazing grace. Because always remember that those who are part of God's people, we who are part of his people, we're not worthy in ourselves to belong to this wonderful Bethel. Jacob, you know, was not a very worthy, godly guy. Jacob was a deceiver. That's what his name means, actually. Deceiver. That's how he obtained the birthright blessing, through deception. He was a conniver, first class, and would always continue to show that characteristic in his life. And yet God mercifully claimed him and saved him and appeared to him at Bethel to assure him that he was the object of God's covenant promises and protection. I'll be with you, said God. I will bring you back to this land. I will bless you. That's why Bethel, the house of God, the church of Christ, is indeed an awesome place. It is the recipient of God's amazing grace. Let me move on secondly this morning to note that there was a unique thing that Jacob then did in response to this dream that he had. We read in verse 18 of our text, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He put that stone upright and made it into a pillar to be a memorial. Because Jacob wanted to remember this place and what happened there. I mentioned earlier that stones in Scripture were often used as symbols. When the people of Israel crossed the Jordan River, you recall, the Lord told Joshua to take 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, out of the middle of the Jordan, and placed them together as a monument at Gilgal to remember this remarkable event where God stopped the flow of the river to allow his people to cross it over it. And after God had miraculously delivered Israel from the Philistine army in the days of Samuel, then Samuel erected a stone which he named Ebenezer, which means stone of help, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. And you will hear Fred speaking more on that stone, that truth tonight. But now, why would stones be good memorials? Aren't stones just simply dead rocks? Yes, they are, but they're also enduring, as you know. They will stand, they will lie there for thousands of years. And in the case of Jacob at Bethel, that stone then was set up as a memorial that would indicate the place where God had appeared to him and told him that he would return again to this land where God had promised to give him the blessing, the covenant blessing given to Abraham and Isaac, that he would increase his descendants so that Jacob would always remember that God is faithful to his word. And so Jacob did one day come back to Bethel after he had left the house of Laban, where he had been there at least 20 years. You can read about that in Genesis 35. But that chapter also indicates that God had to remind Jacob to go back to Bethel so he would remember how God had been with him through all the intervening years and blessed him abundantly. God was faithful, but he needed to remind Jacob to be faithful also. How true that is of us too. This morning we celebrate God's faithfulness through many years of church life. But the challenge for us is to remain faithful to him, which, as you know, is easier said than done. To be faithful to him in our love for the church, in our service in this church, in our worship here from week to week, in our participation in the life of the church, in our support of the ministries of the church and its missionary programs. To be faithful in our own personal life is a challenge, as you know. To be faithful in our prayer life, in our devotional life, in our reading of God's word, to be holy, to be upright before God every single day again. What I'm saying, congregation, is that we must be living stones, as Peter exhorts us. When our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he rolled the dead stone away from the tomb so that we indeed might become living stones for him. He lives, that we know. He lives today, he lives forever, that you and I might live by his grace and power. You know, a stone memorial is fine. A cornerstone is fine. But it means nothing unless you and I are living stones. And you can go, as you well know, to many cities in the world today which have massive, impressive churches or cathedrals. You may have seen them yourselves. And we stand amazed at how people hundreds of years ago could erect such incredible buildings, but they stand empty on Sundays, or just a handful attend them. They are memorials to apostasy and to indifference. They are dead stones. There are many other less fancy church buildings that you and I can ride past which have no worshipers in them. They're dead stones. And then there are thatched-roofed buildings or simple concrete and metal roof-type structures in parts of the world today which are filled with worshipers. They contain living stones. May this church building never stand here as a dead stone. May it be filled every week again with living stones. Then this church will truly be a memorial that praises God, a true Bethel. Notice after putting up this stone as a pillar, Jacob poured oil on top of it. What did that indicate? It indicated that he deemed this to be a sacred place, a place consecrated for worship, anointing with oil as was done for the prophets and the priests and the kings of the Old Testament meant that they were to serve God in holy obedience. This was to be a place of worship. And years later, when Jacob then returned to Bethel, the first thing he did was erect an altar again. And he poured oil on it and a drink offering on it. He even set up another stone there at Bethel. And he again called it, as you can read in Genesis 35, Bethel, house of God. And so we, as Christians, are anointed by God with his Spirit to serve him in a holy life and a holy obedience in whatever callings he's given to us, in our jobs, in our families, in our schools, as well as in the church. That indicates that we are living stones. Let me turn thirdly this morning, congregation, and lastly then to the importance of this awesome place, Bethel, which again, I remind you, for us is the church. Why is the church, why is this church so important? And maybe you've gathered already from what I've been saying, but let me just put it in a nutshell for you this morning by using four single words. First, we need Bethel because it is a place where we find rest. Rest. Rest and renewal for our life. When Jacob arrived at the place he would call Bethel, he needed rest. He was on a long journey to Haran. He was by himself, a young man, alone. So he lay himself down to sleep. But then God appeared to him in a dream. He needed not only physical rest, he also needed spiritual renewal. He needed God to renew his soul and prepare him spiritually for the journey ahead. Isn't that one key reason we need the church? It's also the reason that we all, in fact, you know, not only Christians, but non-Christians as well, we need Sunday. We need the Lord's Day. God created us to work, but also to rest from our daily labors and routines. But as God's people, we need above all spiritual rest. We need to be able to set aside all of our daily concerns, our earthly cares, and we need to be able to rest in the presence of God, the rest that Jesus himself promised us when he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And although we can find that rest also alone in our private home, we need Bethel. We need the house of God, the family of believers, to help us as pilgrims on our way so we can be rested and renewed in our faith, in our love, in our daily walk with God. Yes, we do need rest. We need Bethel. And secondly, we need Bethel to remember God. Remember Him at all times. Jacob called the place Bethel because he sensed that God was there. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. That is, he was not aware of it when he first put his head on that stone that night. He was on his way to Haran. He wasn't maybe even thinking about God. And then God appeared to him in a dream. And Jacob saw the angels going up and down the ladder between earth and heaven, reminding him that God and his servants are constantly there at his bidding to help us. And he saw God at the top of the ladder, God who is almighty, God who is sovereign over all the events of our lives. And so God says to us as his people, remember me. Remember, I'm the sovereign over your life. You need me on your life journey to lead you. Without me, you have no proper direction for your life. People who do not belong to the church or have no desire to be part of the church, who never think about God, have no direction in their lives, or I should say more properly, they have no right direction for their lives. Because even apart from God, there is some direction we are going, but it is only the direction of eternal death or hell, a place where God is forever absent. We need Bethel. We need the church of Christ so we remember God, the one who told Jacob in his dream, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. We need Bethel to remember him who is our sovereign head and Lord. It ties into a third reason we need Bethel, and that's because we need instruction. Instruction. We need God to tell us what we need to know, who he is, what he has done, how we can be saved through him, how we must live for him. We need God's word to be the lamp to our feet and the light on our path. And where do we hear that word, that instruction? How can we learn it? Well, every Sunday you hear it here, explained, proclaimed in the house of God. Here you are instructed in the truth of God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. I know you can study it by yourselves too, which we should for sure. But I can tell you that those who say that, yeah, you know, I read the Bible, I read God's word, but have no use for the church, I can tell you they will not keep that habit very long. They will not really know the word of God. If they really knew the word of God, they would be here. They will not live by that word. We need that word to be taught us, to be explained to us, to be applied to us in the midst of the church by God's ordained servants. We're called to bring it in its truth and power. A church without solid biblical preaching cannot last and will fail in its most important task. God spoke to Jacob in his dream. God instructed him there in who he was, the covenant God, and gave him his covenant promises, which he had given earlier already to Abraham and to Isaac. Oh, may you continue to desire to hear that word in all its truth and fullness and power. For finally, congregation, I conclude this morning by noting that we need Bethel to lead us to heaven. You know, Jacob made a striking statement after he woke up from his dream. He said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Bethel is the gate of heaven. Jacob saw heaven open before him. He saw God there in heaven. But that was, of course, only as long as his dream lasted. And then he had to continue on his earthly journey. The next day, God was with him, to be sure. But many trials and difficulties lay before Jacob, as you well know. His life was filled with all kinds of problems and adversities, so that at the end of his earthly life, when he stood before Pharaoh in Egypt, he told Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult." But what awaited him after his death was far better than what Jacob could possibly have imagined. That God, who stood at the top of the ladder in his dream, would actually open the gate of heaven for him. And then Jacob would actually enter into the eternal Bethel, the house of God that is perfect and that is glorious, where all redeemed sinners will one day enjoy the presence of their Lord. My dear friends at Second Church, Bethel is the gate of heaven for all who know the God of Jacob, who believe in the Savior of Jacob, who love God and the house where he dwells in the midst of his people. In fact, one day, we will live in Bethel with God and with Christ. We will live in that perfect house, that perfect place with the Lord forever. And I can assure you, it will be an awesome place. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, how good it is to once again meditate upon your word and to be instructed by that word and by your spirit in it. And Lord, we pray that we may once again have learned the blessing of Bethel. What a privilege it is for us to be part of the church of Christ, which he loved and bought with his own blood, to belong to that body of believers also here in this place, that here we might indeed be brought not only to know you, to love and serve you, but to find our rest in you, to be called to remember you, and also then to be led even to the gate of heaven itself. And so we pray, bless your people, bless your church here in this place, as we pray, will you bless it wherever it is found today. And may all these Bethels on earth indeed lead many, many, many sinners yet to enter into that eternal Bethel, where we shall live with Christ and with you, our God, forevermore. In the blessed name of Christ we pray. Amen.